Good morning. It's good to be here. Good to see each of you. And I want to greet you this morning in the name of Jesus, one we've gathered to worship. Wasn't aware of how closely what God has laid on my heart ties into what already has been discussed this morning. And had it on my heart for last Sunday, but plans changed for that. And here we are today. So we plan to share that this morning. Was blessed by the discussions of this morning, and it's a big subject. We're left with many questions, and I'd like to start with a question. And the question is taken from the Bible, but it's in my own words. But the question is, what do you have that you did not receive? And you might recognize that question from 1 Corinthians 4:7. The King James Version says it this way, "What hast thou that thou didst not receive?" This question is followed up with another question that says, "And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not?" So just keep that question in your mind. What do you have that you did not receive? In other words, you came to church this morning and you probably came in your car. And after church, you'll go home to your house and you'll sit down at your table and eat your food. Is that really the way it is? It's not all wrong to say it that way and to think about it that way. But yet, is that really what it is? As I mentioned, this overlaps somewhat with what we've already talked about. And we're going to go back into the Old Testament, and we're going to look at an Old Testament character and try to learn some lessons. I've entitled the message this morning, Squandering Our Resources. And I invite your attention to the Old Testament account. It's in Judges 14. You will quickly recognize this as the story of Samson. And we might not always turn to Samson to study about resources and all that goes along with it. But this morning, I would like to do that. And we cannot read his whole life story. I think it covers about four chapters here in the book of Judges. We're going to zero in, and I'm going to read Judges 14. It would be the first, we would say, the first chapter of his story. And Samson doesn't need any introduction. Samson had outstanding potential. Samson had godly parents. Samson had supernatural strength. Samson had the Lord's favor. Samson had more gifts and advantages than many other people, especially living in his time era. And Samson could have been a picture of divine deliverance. He could have been a picture of the Messiah. He could have been a type of one who came to deliver his people from bondage. You know, so many of the other people that lived in that time era needed to depend on other people to help them. Samson was a one-man army. If there was something that needed done, he could do it. You know, he would go forth. But Samson had a problem that severely alters his picture. And one way I'd like to label that this morning is Samson squandered his resources. Let's read chapter 14. As I said, this is just the first part of his story. You know the rest of his life. I'm sure you're familiar with it. We're going to be referring to some of the rest of it as we go through the message. Chapter 14, and Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, "I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife." Then his father and his mother said unto him, "Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all thy people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines?" And Samson said unto his father, "Get her for me, for she pleases me well." But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave to them. And they did eat, but he told them not that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. And it came to pass, when they saw him, that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If ye can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. But if ye cannot declare it me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. And they said unto him, Put forth thy riddle, that we may hear it. And he said unto them, Out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, Entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us thy riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so? And Samson's wife wept before him and said, Thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, Behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother, and shall I tell it thee? And she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him, and she told the riddle to the children of her people. And the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day before the sun went down, What is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, If ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye would not found out my riddle. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. That's part of the story of Samson. If you were in Delray Beach, Florida in 1977, it is highly probable you would have seen an old lady dressed in rags, scrounging through trash cans and mounds of garbage. This was in the New York Times back in 1977. She was a familiar sight around town. The locals called her Garbage Mary. Every day she could be seen scrounging through garbage cans for food and treasures. She hoarded what she found in her car and two-room apartment. She was a recluse with no friends. She begged cigarettes and ice cubes. It was easy to believe that this old lady was just another pauper whose mind had faded, living on the edge of destitution. The article goes on to say that one Saturday, and I'm not sure why, it didn't say, at a shopping mall, the local authorities picked up Garbage Mary and took her to the local psychiatric institution. The police were sent to search her apartment and her car to find what they could to help her out with her dire situation. The police were amazed to find, scattered among all the junk she hoarded, money. They found bank books, stock securities, oil drilling rights, and land holdings. Garbage Mary was worth approximately $1 million. Garbage Mary was not an old lady at all. In fact, she was a 48-year-old college graduate. Her dad was a well-to-do lawyer and bank director who had died in 1974. Mary had suffered two failed marriages. Her two siblings had not seen her since her father's funeral. Her brother felt the emotional trauma of her father's passing and her failed marriages resulted in her mental problems. Her psychiatrist conjectured that living alone, she fell into a mental rut because she had nothing whatsoever to excite her. Whatever the reason, the tragedy remains. Here was a lady abounding in physical resources, well able to meet her physical needs, foraging through garbage cans, living in rags, while her resources went unused, she collected garbage. How many people do we have today that are like Garbage Mary? They're rummaging through the trash of this world, and they're completely oblivious to the valuable resources available to meet their needs. And I'm wondering this morning, when we talk about resources, it might sound like something vague, something out there, something kind of a general thing we sometimes refer to. But how much do we recognize the resources for what they are, what we have at our disposal that we can use? In a sense, Samson was a garbage Mary. He didn't realize what he had. How many people today, like Samson, are turning away from what is valuable to follow what feels good? And we'll talk about this just a little bit more. How many people today, like Samson, are wasting their resources because of an unbridled appetite? You know, resources, they flow through their fingers. And we think about people like Garbage Mary. Their resources flow through their fingers. They don't even know what resources they have. And other people are wasting them. They're neglecting them. They're disregarding them. They're squandering them. Samson, he was a Nazarite. He was a judge of Israel. He was a man of faith. Is it fair to Samson to say that he squandered his resources? Well, let's go into this a little bit further and see if we can answer that. Let's make sure we know what we're talking about. Squandering. Do you know what that is this morning? What does it mean to squander? It means to waste, to spend foolishly, to lose. That's what we mean when we talk about squandering. What do we mean by resources? Again, maybe that's not something that we talk about as much. We talk about our resources. What are they? And here again, it can be very broad, we could come up with a very long list. But in general, a resource is something that can be used for a purpose. So it can be something as simple as a songbook. We use it for a purpose. This is a resource, a dictionary. It is a resource. It's something that we use for a purpose. Or it can be something as valuable as a $100 bill. We use it for a purpose. And for some reason, we tend to talk more about resources when we talk about money. But I want us to think a little bit beyond that this morning. Our resources involve more than just the cash we have in the bank or at our disposal. A resource is something that can be used for a purpose. What resources do we have? What are we doing with them? One resource we all have, and we all have the equal amount of, is the resource of time. It is something that we have, and it is something that we can use for a purpose. What are we doing with our time? Are we squandering it? Again, there are many resources. A resource is something that supplies, supports, enables, improves, succeeds. Resources give us opportunity. We have other resources, and we could go into our natural resources, which is good as well, or think about maybe our spiritual resources. What spiritual resources do we have, and what are we doing with those? Think about the Bible. Think about our Christian family, the church setting. These are all things that we have that supply, support, enable, improve, things that can help us. In our illustration, or in what we read this morning, Samson, one of his main resources was his strength. If we turn back to Judges 13:5, I believe it is, says, and he shall, talking about Samson, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So Samson's, one of his resources was his strength. And as I said, a resource is something that is used for a purpose. Samson was given his strength for a purpose. It was something that he had to use. And the question is, what was Samson going to do with his resource? Now, the Bible doesn't use the word resource. However, we talked about that verse from Corinthians that said, what do you have that you did not receive? What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? That, I think, would refer to all the things that we have. What do we have? What have we that we did not receive? And I think if we were to answer that question, we would need to admit that we have nothing. Everything that we have, we received. In other words, is there anything that we have that totally, we had totally everything to do with it? It always breaks down, and we know that there we receive what we have. Now, I realize this morning, as we go through the rest of this and talk about resources, that it's a very broad picture, and we don't have time to break down all these resources and look at them, because each of these resources, whether it's money or time or opportunities or relationships, all these resources have benefits, and each one in itself could take up our morning. So I would like for us to think about the resources that we have and what are we doing with them? How can we, and ultimately, how can we use these things for the honor and glory of God? In our Sunday school lesson, we know what happened there, that Uzziah's heart was lifted up in pride and it destroyed them. And we'll see how that happened here with Samson as well. I would like to give you six considerations, six things to consider so we don't squander our resources. And the first one is that we need to remember that what we have is a gift from God. A gift is something given, and we already talked about how resources is something that we receive. What we have received. A gift is something that is given. A gift is something that should be treasured. And I put that word treasure in, or should in there, because sometimes a gift is not always treasured for what it is. By all indications, Samson failed to make the connection between his ability and a gift from God. Somewhere in there seems to be a disconnect. And I wonder if how much Samson's parents told him about the angel visit, or about chapter 13. If we took the time to read through chapter 13, and where the angel came to Samson's parents, and the angel told them what was going to happen. I wonder how much of that the parents told to Samson. Because Samson's birth in itself was a gift, let alone his supernatural strength. Again, another gift. Somehow Samson disconnected, and it seems like he didn't understand the sacredness and also the calling that was placed on his life. The question is, or the consideration here is that we want to keep in focus, and somehow we need to keep in focus is that a gift is something given and a gift is something that should be treasured. It seems like, and I don't know how this is for you, but it seems like if we don't work for it, if we don't earn it, if we don't put sweat and energy into it, we don't value it quite as much. Sometimes when we're just given something, we don't see quite as much value in it. And I think the challenge for us is to turn around. Somewhere, somebody put time and energy into this gift. And we could think about that for a little while. You know, the time and energy. Think about the time and energy that went into the gift of salvation. And maybe that's not a good way of labeling it, but we know that it cost Christ and what he went through and what he endured. And there is a point whenever we receive something, somebody else is sacrificing. Somebody else is giving something up. And I think that can tie into this thing of resources as well. That we realize that these things are a gift. They're a gift from God. And God is allowing these things, granting these things to us. And what are we doing with them? I raise the question of, did Samson value or did he treasure what he had? Did he see it as a gift, a valuable gift? Did Samson treasure his strength, the calling that was placed on his life? And I'm not sure that he did. My second consideration ties right in with this one. It says, failing to see the value of what we have will cause us to not value what we have. And there's a point that we've already talked about some of this, but if we fail to see the value of what we have, we will not value what we have. In other words, we will become careless with what we have. And I'm afraid Samson did some of that in his life. He was careless with this resource of strength that he had. And I referred to his resource of strength. There are some others, but let's think about this first. People who waste what they have do not realize the value of what they have. And we could think about that with our material resources, our natural resources. But what about our spiritual resources? How much value do we place in them? Do we see the value of them? What about our spiritual resources? Prayer. Ever think about the resource of prayer? How it enables us? How it is to be used for a purpose? God's Spirit, God's presence in our heart. What a wonderful resource that enables us. Think about the fact of having the Bible. What about relationships with other Christians, with friends? Do you think Samson's parents saw greater value in what he had than what he did? And I'm thinking that they might have. That Samson's parents realized more what their son had and what this meant. The question is, why is it so hard to pass values from one generation to another? And maybe that's a little bit of a different subject, but when I think about resources and sensing the value of the resources that we have at our disposal, why is it so hard to pass that on from one generation to another? Whether, again, it's spiritual resources, whether it's material resources, it seems like one generation might value it. And, you know, often you see the picture in the material resources where it goes maybe into the third generation, the resources are gone. Why does that happen? I think it comes back to this thing of value. What do we value? How much value do we place? Do we recognize and realize the value of what is placed on these resources? What did Samson have? We talked about his strength and the resource of strength, but he had other resources that he squandered and that he walked away from. The first one here is in chapter 13. It alludes to his parents. He had a godly home. He had a godly home environment. His parents feared God. And it seems like he squandered that resource. In chapter 14, we read the verse where he came back from Timnath, came to his father and his mother, and he told them what he wanted. And his father and his mother, they tried to reason with him and tried to get him to think through this. But his response in chapter verse 3 was, "Get her for me, for she pleases me well." He was not interested in what his parents had to say. And Samson had a resource of a godly home. And for many of us here today, we have that resource as well. The question is, what are we doing with that? Do we value it? And do we see it as a gift from God? Another resource that he had was godly advice. In verse 4, I believe it is, his father and his mother were giving him godly advice. And verse 3 would be part of this as well. They were trying to reason with him. And in verse 4, the picture broadens a little bit, because it says that his parents knew not that it was of the Lord. And that might make us think that the Lord had a different agenda than what his parents did. And whether it's right or wrong, I think the point here is God is powerful and wise enough to be able to use Samson's presence in Timnath for his purpose. In other words, it would have been better for Samson to go to Timnath under the Spirit's direction. If you look back in chapter 13, 25, it said, "The Spirit of the Lord moved Samson to go places." And in other words, this was a time when the Spirit of the Lord did not move Samson to go, but he went anyways. God is big enough, he can use it for his purpose. However, Samson was going against godly advice. And think about that as a resource that you have available, that you can use, that is good for you, that'll benefit you. And closely related to that is another resource Samson have, and that we all have, and that is in verse 6, "And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him." Samson could not have done what he did without the resource of God's Spirit, the power that came on him. Numerous places we see that, where God's Spirit came mightily upon Samson, and I think he was a little bit careless with that special power. It seemed like he used it sometimes when maybe he shouldn't have. And we know he eventually lost it and suffered terribly because of it. Think about what he could have been if he had valued these resources as he should have. Why is it that the richly blessed and most gifted people tend to value less what they have? And maybe that's us this morning. You know, we have so much, we are so blessed, and we tend to become careless with these blessings. I think we need to realize what we have, and we need to take our resources and use our resources, value them, use them for God's kingdom. All right, the third consideration is the biggest obstacle to using resources as we should is our selfish nature. Is it right to label Samson as a selfish man? Samson was easily the strongest man that ever lived. He was also one of the weakest. You know, Samson had great physical strength, but morally, he struggled. It's simple, you know, but yet it's so difficult. You know, Samson had no strength over his own selfish nature, but yet he could take down the gates of a city, and he could destroy 30 men and take their garments. His biggest obstacle was his own selfish nature. And there's many ways that we could go with this. Chapter 14, verse 3 brings that out. It shows his selfish nature again in his response to his father when he says, "Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well." Samson's motive is clearly seen. And he's not making this choice because he wanted to make a wise investment. He's not making this choice because he wanted to start a healthy relationship. He's not making this choice because he wants to do good to others. He's making this choice because it's what he wanted. And so often it's our own selfish nature that gets in the way of our right use of resources. How many decisions do we make because it's what we want? And what do we squander to get what we want? And here with Samson, he was destroying one relationship with his parents to get what he wanted, to satisfy his own unbridled appetite. The other question is, what guides us when we're making a decision in regards to our resources? And again, resources is such a broad picture. But think about what guides us. What guides us when we're making decisions in regards to our resources? Which brings us to our fourth point that says, resources come with guidance. The question is, will we follow? There is guidance for using our resources. And we don't have time to go through all the details of this because there is much. This guidance is God's word, and there's much in God's word about how to use our resources. The question is, will we follow this guidance? Samson did not. You know, you can set up a plan for how to save money, but it does you no good unless you're willing to follow that plan. It seems like Samson didn't have an agenda. It appears that he just roamed and wandered wherever his soul desired, especially with this trip to Timnath. There are times when God gave him guidance, but yet there's times when it seems like he just went where his soul desired. And that is such a bad thing, especially when we think of our resources, because we can become so easily distracted from what is right, and we can so often just do what feels good, and we can so easily be serving our selfish nature. But the question is here, there is guidance. Will we follow it? Samson had guidance. Verse 5, what was he doing in a vineyard? He was a Nazarite. He was supposed to stay away from the fruit of the vine. And obviously his parents weren't with him at this point, because it says that he killed a lion and then he told his parents about them, about this. And I'm thinking, if he was killing a lion and his parents were close by, they would probably hear it. So the point is, Samson was ignoring the guidance for his resources. Verse 8 to 9, as a Nazarite, he was supposed to stay away from dead carcasses. Here again, he's ignoring that guidance. Verse 12 talks about the feast that they put on for 7 days. It doesn't specify it here, but normally in those feasts, there was much drinking. Again, the question is, did Samson abstain? Was Samson following the guidance that was there for his resource, especially his resource of strength? Ultimately, God gives us guidance. The question is, are we following it? Will we follow it? Because the fifth consideration is, wrong use of our resources will destroy us and them. You know the sad end of Samson's life. What could he have done if only he had let God direct his strength? I'm sure you know many stories of resources that have ruined people, that have ruined families, ruined relationships. We need to be very careful with how we use our resources and that we use them for right purposes, because they can ruin our ruin our, they will ruin us, and then we'll lose our resources. Bad things will ruin our resources. And good things, we look at our resources as good things, and they are good things, but if they're used incorrectly, they will ruin us and we will lose them. I would like to finish up with the last point, and it is resources and our opportunity to invest in kingdom treasures. I realize that a lot of this has been negative, but there is a purpose that we have been given these things, and they are an opportunity for us to invest in kingdom treasures. And I would like to read Jesus' words. He tells us a story about this, and it's in Matthew 25. And it's called the parable of the talents. And there's a couple different ways we can apply this. But think about the talents as your resources. Matthew 25, 14 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." And you know how this story goes, from the 5 to the 2 to the 1. Let's break in down at verse 26. And his Lord, this is the Lord's response to the man that misused the one thing that he had. And he said, "His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and that at my coming I should have used mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. And from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The question isn't whether we have 5, 2, or 1. The question is, what are we doing with what we have? Jesus has a lot to say about our resources. And I think the reason is, it's a very important detail. It's a very important what we do with what we have. And one of the reasons it's so important is because it ties into eternity. What we do with what we have will have a big influence on where we end up eternally. The question is, how can we use our resources for the glory of God? And I realize, again, that this is a very big subject, and there's very much that could be said and maybe should be said about this. But I hope that this stirs your mind a little bit. We started with a question: what do we do, or what do we have that we did not receive? The question is, what are you doing with what you have been given? Are we like Garbage Mary? You know, we don't really realize what we have. And we're forging through the trash of this world, and we're letting our resources slip through our fingers. Will we be someone who comes to the end of our life and looks back and wish we had done differently with what you did? And I'm afraid Samson did that. I'm afraid he went to the grave with regrets. You know, that day there in the temple, I wonder if that wasn't his expression of faith that talks about in Hebrews, where he knew he had ruined most of his life, but yet he took it upon himself to reach out and one last time to use his resource for God's glory. You know, God has given us so much, and today we have the opportunity to move forward with the rest of our life. Let's use it for his glory. Let's use what we have for the cause of God's kingdom. Let's kneel for